Vacuum cleaners replace carpet beaters. Electric refrigerators, ovens, and washing machines save hours of work. But the invention that brings the whole country together is radio.
Have you tried Wheaties? They're whole wheat with all of the bran. Won't you try Wheaties?
This is Radio Row, New York City's Cortlandt Street, the world's largest collection of electronic stores. It will remain this way until 1966, when it's leveled to make way for the World Trade Center.
The tremendous crowds which you see gathered outside the Stock Exchange are due to the greatest crash in the history of the New York Stock Exchange in market prices.
The Wall Street panic, in my opinion, is over. It had to come.
They called that time the Roaring Twenties. It was a decade of change driven by new technology, by electrification of tools and appliances, by motorization of transportation, and by the advent of instant, real-time, mass communication. Music changed, entertainment changed, fashion changed, social attitudes changed, business and household operations changed. 100 years later, we still know the term the Roaring Twenties. And while everything has changed again over that century, some things are remarkably alike. One of the most striking similarities, perhaps, is radio. I'm Paul Cross. This is Cross Talk, Media History, Commentary, and Analysis, Season 4, Episode 1, on how we communicate in the 20s. For someone living in the 1920s, it must have seemed that everything was changing. It was a period of recovery after the First World War, a resumption of innovation as the focus shifted from the mass needs of wartime to a new consumerism, unprecedented change in household technology and communication. The 1920s brought affluent households an incredible range of tools and appliances that ran on electricity. Refrigerators, washing machines, the toaster, the hairdryer, the electric razor. Transportation changed with the advent of the assembly line to speed up mass manufacturing of cars and with the beginning of travel by air. People started to have more leisure time given the impact of all this technological change. And, of course, the new technology pushed changes in culture and society. One of the biggest changes was the beginning of radio. In Episode 10 of Season 3, I examined the 100th anniversary of licensed radio broadcasting in Canada. XWA went on the air in Montreal in December 1919. The first licensed radio station in the United States came on the air in November 1920. That's KDKA, which is still alive and on the air a century later in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Within 2 years, there were nearly 600 radio stations on the air in the U.S. and close to 40 in Canada. 1922 is the same year that radio broadcasting starts in Britain. The importance of radio cannot be overstated. Anyone in any household where there was a radio could, for the first time in history, have instant access to news, to public affairs, to political speeches, to new popular music, to the popular culture entertainment of the day, at the very same time as anyone else with a radio, regardless of income or social status. Just think of that. Radio democratizes the dissemination of information and popular culture 100 years ago. The famous political speeches on radio, such as the fireside chats of Franklin Roosevelt, came in the 30s. Winston Churchill speeches mostly in the 40s. The first British Royal Christmas message was an innovation of the BBC in 1932. But here, in 1927, is Canadian Prime Minister William Lyon Mackenzie King in a speech recorded for broadcast for the 60th anniversary of Canada's Confederation, Dominion Day, 1927, and the dedication of a new carillon, Bells, at the Peace Tower at the Parliament Buildings in Ottawa.
The inscription reads, "This carillon was installed by authority of Parliament to commemorate the peace of 1918 and to keep in remembrance the service and sacrifice of Canada in the Great War."
Most radio went without advertising in the earliest days. Many early radio stations were set up by manufacturers of both transmission and reception equipment, income driven by sales of radios to receive the transmissions. Later, some were established by newspapers as a way of putting out some news, but just enough to drive newspaper sales, and then to try to limit radio's access to news. But if newspapers feared radio's ability to spread news and therefore the potential to cut into their income, it took a few years for advertising to catch on to radio. I still argue the first radio ad really was on XWA Montreal in 1919 when the radio station gave credit on air to the record shop that loaned it records so it could play popular recorded music on air. Historians argue the first real radio ad came in 1922, a 10-minute extended piece for a real estate development on WEAF New York City. It's the station known today as WNBC. Radio in the 1920s also brought us the first advertising jingle, music written and produced for advertising. Ad historians say this is the first radio commercial jingle. It's from 1927 for a breakfast cereal people still buy today, Wheaties.
They're crispy and crunchy the whole year through. The kiddies never tire of them and neither will you. So just buy Wheaties, the best breakfast food in the land.
So audio advertising and commercial jingles are innovations from radio in the 1920s. Both are in use 100 years later, on radio, in podcasts, in other audio media, and of course, they were adopted and adapted by early television. The social and cultural importance of radio listening also had a historic impact on the movie industry of the 1920s. Until the late 20s, most motion pictures, feature movies, short films, and newsreels shown in cinemas were silent. They contained no sound. By 1929, the motion picture industry started to produce movies that did have sound. The first North American feature film with sound stars a popular recording artist and silent movie star of the 20s, Al Jolson. It's called The Jazz Singer.
You want to hear Tootsie? All right, hold on. No, listen, play two Tootsie, three choruses, you understand? And the third chorus, I whistle. Now give it to him hard and heavy. Go right ahead.
The movies switched from silent film to talkies in 1929, but they could have done it sooner. The technological know-how to make it happen was there. There was no real imperative, except for that pesky radio. By the mid-1920s, people had a reason to stay home in the evening and listen to the radio. There were broadcasts of live concerts of various types of music, variety shows featuring music and other entertainment, comedies and drama, stories on the radio, stories worth staying home to listen in. Competition from radio is one of the factors that pushed the movie industry to take the next step and add sound. Now there was a new reason to get out of the house and spend money at the neighborhood cinema. That also brought sound to the newsreel, the weekly film roundup of news events shown in movie houses before the feature films. And there, in late 1929, is the talking newsreel with natural sound of news events or scenes and interviews. Listen to this, after the U.S. stock market crash of 1929.
I am absolutely confident that stocks purchased during this panic, and we've had a panic, make no mistake about that, will also yield very generous profits.
That's the voice of B.C. Forbes, Bertie Charles Forbes, the founder of Forbes Magazine, still one of the most influential North American magazines about financial wealth. the telephone became increasingly important in the 1920s. Most homes in Canadian and American cities had one, and starting in the late 20s, phone companies introduced the dial phone. Now, for the first time, you could dial someone else's phone number on your own and reach them without having to tell an operator what number you wanted to connect to. With the increasing availability and use of the telephone comes a change in the way the phone was used, not just for important communication anymore, but for gossip. In the new 20s, 30 years into the era of the pocket phone, gossip is what drives much of our phone use, isn't it? Whether it's by phone or social media apps on our phones. We don't have to tell any operator who we're communicating with today, but privacy of our communication and data is a major concern. The appliances, vehicles, and devices we use in the 2020s do everything their forerunners did in the 1920s, and of course, much more. Many of the great radio stations that started in the 1920s are still with us today. CFRB Toronto, WNBC New York, KDKA Pittsburgh, WLW Cincinnati, WLS Chicago, KFI and KHJ Los Angeles, and CKWX Vancouver. Podcasts help us extend what radio does and let thousands of people outside radio produce and distribute some of the same types of content we've been producing for a century. News, sports, weather, entertainment, public affairs, politics, comedy, drama, music, stories. We all have our own reasons for listening in the 20s, as in the 20s a century ago. The choices available to us just keep growing. This is Crosstalk. I'm Paul Cross. I study and I teach podcasting and radio.